I'm not. As Fiona said, the reading is from 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning at verse 5, on page 338. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you, and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child, and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Then Solomon awoke, and he realized it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem, stood before the ark of the Lord's covenant, and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. And then he gave a feast for all his court. Thanks be to God.
Could get very cluttered up here. Whoops. Nearly lost the notes as well. I was conscious as I just led the prayer time a moment ago that it's a great privilege to be standing here and speaking. I guess only those who do it will realise what a privilege it is. I remember somebody some years ago standing at the door at the end of a service and people shaking hands and saying, "Good sermon, Vicar," and "Nice morning, Vicar," and so on. And a comment coming from that particular speaker that I couldn't really go wrong with a group like you are, said he. And I feel that as I stand here this morning. I look around, lots of faces I know, faces that, and I'm not really buttering you up, I mean it, are alive. And it's so easy to go to places, and I've been on many occasions, and you see people that really... they've lost it before you even start speaking, and you've got to do something sort of extraordinary to try and get them back with you. It's a great encouragement to preachers to have a group like this that's sitting in front of me this morning. So, thank you. Let's pray. I wasn't really looking for any praise. No, you can say "nice sermon, Vicar," at the end. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And we pray this morning as we look at it that you'll open it to us. Father, we pray that our hearts and our minds might today be provoked. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know how many times in your household over the last couple of weeks you've had the cry of, "Oh, it's not fair." And I wonder how many times when that cry of "it's not fair" has been made, you actually in your heart of heart have got sympathy with the child, almost certainly a child who's been making the protestation. But there's a moment You can't easily move from where you are, and that's the answer that's been made. But there's a bit of you that says, did we get it right? Were we fair? And so today, we're looking, as you will have realised from the... Well, I don't know about the notice, the blue tag there. Still don't know what we're talking about with the Spice Girls theme song there. But as we read that passage in 1 Kings, we're talking today about wisdom. And as soon as you mention that word, people will say, oh, Solomon. Last week, if you were here then, we had an all-age service. And one of the Bible characters we looked at was David, just very briefly. And the good and the bad, as I think it was that Fiona said about David. Let me just read a couple of verses to you from Samuel. I'm reading these because David was the first king of Israel, and Solomon, who we're looking at this morning, was the second. So it was all a bit new to the people of Israel. But David, whatever the moral issues might be, was quite good at fathering children. In 2 Samuel chapter 3, it says sons were born to David in Hebron. His first was called Amnon, the second Chileab. The third was Absalom, the fourth Adonijah, the fifth Shephatiah, the sixth Ithream. These were born to David in Hebron. And then you turn over just a couple of pages, and 2 Samuel chapter 5, after he left Hebron, David took more concubines and wives in Jerusalem, and more sons and daughters were born to him. These are the names of the children born to him there: Shamuar, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, Ibhar, Elishua, Nithfeg, Japhia, Elishama, Eliada, and Eliphelet. He was quite an active guy, was David. And it probably isn't surprising that as he was lying on his deathbed, there was a bit of confusion as to who was going to take over. With all those children, and almost all of them coming from different mothers, where was progression coming from? And one of them, Adonijah, decided to take the bull by the horns, and Adonijah said, I will be king. And so he got the priests together, and they all consecrated him, and he took his pals and went and had a great party to celebrate the fact that he was now the king of Israel. Bathsheba, and you may well remember that name, she was the lady who was sunbathing on the roof, and David looked down on her and thought, And he therefore, do you remember, sent her husband Uriah in the front line of the battle. He inevitably was killed, and Bathsheba became David's. And she is the mother of Solomon. Solomon, son of David and Bathsheba. She, having heard that Adonijah had grabbed the throne, went to David and said, do you realise this? Is this what you want? No, no, said David, it isn't. Get the royal donkey, put Solomon on, I will get the priests together, and we will consecrate this very day Solomon as my successor as king. And so they did. And all the trumpets sounded, great excitement. The people who were at Adonijah's party heard all the noise and came out to see what was happening, and were a little distressed to discover that they had a new king. Adonijah's reign had been only a matter of hours. They all filtered into the crowd because it was best not to be standing up for Adonijah at that stage. And Solomon became, at that stage, the undisputed king of Israel. And we're now coming into our passage of this morning. It's a long introduction, but it's good to get the background to all of this. The last verse of chapter 2 of 1 Kings says, the kingdom was now firmly established in Solomon's hands, and it had been a problem to get to that point. Now, let's move on. Dreams. Now, this is where Solomon, of course, got this message from God. It was in a dream. And there's a danger that we think dreams as a bit fairy tale sort of things. But there's a lot more to them than that. How does God speak to you? How does he speak? Very rarely do you hear a voice. He can't take you aside and say, let's go and have a meal or a coffee and chat over something. How does God speak? He spoke in a dream to Solomon. He spoke, here's the picture of Joseph. Do you remember Joseph and the sheaves of corn? And Joseph said to his brothers, I had a dream and we were all sheaves of corn and all you sheaves all bowed down and worshipped me. And that didn't impress his brothers. And it was the start of Joseph's problems. He went to Egypt. He was in jail for a long time. Pharaoh had a dream. Do you remember? And the dream was seven fat cows and seven gaunt cows. And the gaunt cows ate the fat cows. And Pharaoh said, what on earth's all this dream about? And somebody said, Joseph, your man, he interprets dreams. So he was brought out of jail. He interpreted the dream, said it was going to be 7 years of fat, wonderful crops, and then 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh said, we need somebody to manage this. There's my man. And Joseph, of course, became the leader, the prime minister of that country. It came from a dream. One of my favourite Bible characters is Ananias. He had a vision that Saul, as he then was, Paul, as he became, had been struck down blind on the road to Damascus, and he needed somebody to go and give him his sight. It came from a vision. And first question to ask ourselves this morning is, how does God speak to you, to me? Are you conscious of God having spoken to you? If so, how did that happen? And I could just perhaps put a plug in for a St. Paul's night. The first Wednesday in each month, we meet here, and for about half an hour, I guess, in the course of that hour, hour and a half, we just are quiet, sit around the church, pray quietly, read quietly, and say, Lord, what do you want to say to me? Is it in a dream? Is it in a vision? Is it in a picture? What is it? How does God speak? We just don't give him a chance normally. We had our prayer time this morning. What did that mean? It meant that I let fly at God. We didn't say, let's sit quietly and listen for a few minutes. No, no. And constantly, we, in our prayer time, are talking to God. Let's sit back and listen to what he might say. So, the dream of Solomon. God says, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Ask for whatever you want me to give you. Just think for a moment. What's your answer? Yes? 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 They'd be quite high on the list, wouldn't they, those things? Because they're things that, you know, I'd like. A bit more money, love, health and a long life, absence of problems and enemies. Yes, Lord. Verse 11 that we've just read, let's just skip the first bit for a moment. We're coming on to that. Since you've asked for this and not for long life, you've not asked for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice. Therefore, said God, I'm listening, and I'm going to answer your prayer. Prayer is not for us to ask God to give us all the things we want. We're going to finish up this morning just talking a little bit about need as distinct from want. That isn't what prayer's all about. What prayer's all about is asking, as Solomon did, for a discerning heart to govern your people, to distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours. That was Solomon's response to God's prayer, to God's request. What do you want, Solomon? And Solomon said, I want, Lord, a discerning heart to govern your people. I'm a child in all this. I'm a new boy. I don't know anything about it. There's so many in your nation here. There's so many, we can't count them. And I need to have a discerning heart to govern your people, to distinguish between right and wrong. And God's response, God said, I will give you what you've not asked for. I'll give you what you've asked for, but also what you haven't asked for. I'll give you riches and honour, so that in your lifetime you'll have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways, obey my statutes and commands as David's father did, I'll give you a long life. The wisdom of Solomon. And right after this passage we've looked at this morning is that, again, famous one. Do you remember where there was two mothers lying separate beds at night with their newborn babes? And one of them woke up during the night and the baby was dead. Looked across at the other bed, did a quick swap of the babies. Do you remember? They woke up in the morning. One has a dead baby lying beside her. And said, this isn't mine. Oh, yes, it is, said the woman with the very live baby lying beside her. Definitely is yours. They went to Solomon, and what did Solomon say? Boy, did we get wisdom coming from Solomon this very early stage. He said, give me the baby. What I'll do is simply chop it in half, and you can have a half each. Response? One of the mothers said, no. Rather than chop it in half, give it to the other lady. And the other lady said, no, it's a good idea, chop it in half. And Solomon said, we now know who the mother of that baby is. There you are. Wisdom. And it's a recurring theme, I think, in our lives today. We are looking, we need the wisdom of God. I started off talking about people saying it's not fair, and how you as parents must at that stage think, oh, wisdom, what do I do? What do I say? Wisdom of Solomon. Let's just move on to a couple of issues that revolve around Solomon that I think are very relevant to us today. Humility. Humility. Somebody said that the closer we are to God, the more we're aware of our inadequacy. I don't know whether you find, I certainly have on occasions, that I've been in the presence of some brilliantly clever person or very famous person, and you think, ooh, you just fade away. They're more than I can ever be. You feel totally inadequate. If we feel like that about individual people, how should we feel in our relationship to God? Let's ask ourselves the question today. Humility, it's easy to talk about it, but what does it actually mean in terms of our relationship with God? Solomon said, I'm a child, even though he was by then king of the greatest nation that was on earth at that time. He said, I'm a child. Lord, I can't cope. Please help me. He was very deferential to David. And that, I think, is something, again, we need to learn. Psalm 51 says, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Solomon, the child, but Solomon looking to David, his father, and the deference that he paid to him. One of the great moments I had over Christmas was back up on my old home territory of Merseyside, trip to Tranmere Rovers on the Boxing Day, and my, did the years come right back to me. But somebody had told me that my Bible class teacher, dear old Will Rankin, who I'd not seen for well over 30 years, was alive still and living in a nursing home, and I thought I'd love to go and see him, but I don't quite know what I'm going to see. And I made a few inquiries. I said, oh, yes, he's as sharp as anything. His legs have given way, but he's as sharp as anything. So in I went and introduced myself. I wouldn't have recognised him, and I'm sure he wouldn't have recognised me. But it was good just to be able to talk with Will and say to him, thank you. Because so many of the things you'll hear me say here are things that I learned from him all those years ago. A wonderful man of God. And to be able to say thank you, to be able to pray with him as he was sitting there in his chair, and he had his 95th birthday the day before I went in to see him. It was the highlight of my Christmas to be able to look to a man like that and say, thank you. Humility. Second point, Solomon wished to be good and not great. He wanted a discerning heart to lead. Do you feel like that with your family? We've mentioned it a couple of times already. That is leadership. It isn't just a king. If you're an employer, you're leading. We're all in a leadership role in some way or other. We need a discerning heart to lead. Solomon wanted to be good and not great. And that's a complete contradiction to the world of today, isn't it? People today want to be famous. And we've got our X Factors and our fame academies. They are things that catapult people to fame within minutes. $1 million record contracts, 100,000 a week for kicking the football. People who want to be famous. Solomon said, no, what I want to be good. I want justice. And if you look at the Old Testament, look at the prophets. What do they talk about? Right the way through the Old Testament prophets, the word justice comes through. Justice. That's what we need as individuals, and that's what our world needs. We want people who have got discerning hearts, people who have a concern for justice. And finally, what Solomon wanted was to be in accordance with God's will. And this is a wonderful verse in 1 John chapter 5. He says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, get those words, if we ask anything according to his will, not if we ask anything. And it was interesting going way back to Solomon, God said there, if you abide by my laws and my commandments, you will have long life. Solomon didn't, and Solomon didn't have long life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. You need to just look at that quietly and read it a second time. It's a bit complicated. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. And that, to me, is a clearer verse, though it is one that you need to have an ice pack and a black coffee as you read it. But the verses in Luke that say there, knock and the door will be opened, seek and you'll find, ask and it'll be given. And it's so easy to be confused and say, but I can't say, Lord, I'd like to just walk outside and find a wonderful car that's just appeared and I'll be able to drive home. That doesn't seem to happen. Why? Because we ask according to his will. God is a loving God. It says again in Luke, if a son asks for fish, which dad's going to give him a snake? If daughter asks for an egg, which mother's going to put a scorpion on the plate? God is concerned to give us good things. And we have today something that appalls me, what's called the prosperity gospel. I'm not going to talk about it today. I'd love to in many ways. But there are churches, and I've been to them, where the theme is God wants the very best for all of us, and the best must mean money, clothes, cars. And if we don't have those things, then we've failed as Christians, because that's what God would want of us. I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. I don't see it anywhere. What I see is Jesus and the disciples being very humble and very poor people. God gives us what we need. Jesus and the disciples were not cash rich, but boy, they were rich. They were rich people. They were rich people. Jesus had that wisdom that God gives. And may that be true of all of us. We need wisdom to lead, and every one of us is in a leadership role in some way or other. And if it is simply leading a child, that's an incredibly responsible role, and we need God's wisdom to do that. That, I believe, is the message of Solomon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word again. Thank you for this person, Solomon. Thank you that today, thousands of years later, we talk about this, the wisdom of Solomon. And we pray, Father, that you will give us clear minds, that we may come to you in humility. We may come to you in confidence that you'll give us what we need, not just what we ask for. Father, give us discerning hearts that we may lead. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.